Welcome to Soccer Neophytes. On this week's episode, we have a lopsided Manchester derby. The Spurs continue to spur. There's still a lot of congestion at the top, and Luton Town just seems happy to be here. What is up, Lundberg? How are you today?
You know, I'm great, and I'm excited about this episode because, you know, I'm sure many of the listeners, as they sit and listen to us banter week by week, wish that they could hear more Andrew and more Lundberg. And so for tonight, unfortunately, that's all they're going to get.
My favorite moment is when I realized that we have you, the neophyte. You know more about soccer than me, but I know more about the EPL than you, I guess.
Yes.
But our combined knowledge is still neophyte level. So we have the two people who know the least running the show tonight. For those of you who couldn't tell already, Nate is not here. Chris is not here. Tim Hoyland is not here. Kyle's not here. They all had a big gala. Weren't you involved?
I was at the gala as well. So they worked their tails off and they've deserved a well-timed break. So they probably got to watch great matches all weekend. Now they don't have to talk about them. So here we are, neophyte from last year and neophyte from this year. Let me say one other thing here. I'm also coming off my first playoff middle school coaching win as of an hour ago. So I'm really on... I'm on a high at the moment. So, you know, 1-0, you know, in the semifinals as of this week. And so I'm excited to talk big league soccer as well. So
I am so proud of you. You're really you're going to be coaching Everton in no time. I am so excited.
If I can get the sixth graders to play that the way that they should have and have brought them along from the last 2 months in August when we couldn't use our left foot or our right foot, I might be a good option for after the season's over. So
that's always fun. That's something that's a side note. I know that we're not on schedule just yet. We are doing our fun little intro, and this is good.
There's no rules.
Right. But one thing I'm noticing now, and I realize how naive and elementary this might sound to someone like you who's been coaching a while, it's getting to the point where I can spot the guys. I can tell who's right-footed or left-footed now when I'm watching games based on how they're setting up shots. Because I was watching, I forget who it was. I think it was Huang on Wolves. And I'm like, dude, why aren't you taking that shot? You're wide open. And he's just, it's not his dominant whatever. Sure. And I realize how naive that sounds, but it's one of those little nuances that I'm starting to pick up on when you watch enough of it. So
Wayne's a good guy to bring up because, man, he didn't need it because it doesn't matter which foot he is. He can still look ridiculous on the pitch. Like, my goodness, like unbelievable.
He's been looking incredible the last few weeks. I can't believe we're talking about Wolves when Nate isn't here.
Oh, for Nate, there we go. He's going to listen to this. He's going to wonder how we, you know, took care of this podcast in his absence. And hey, Nate, for you, we're bringing up Wolves as the very first thing we talk about.
So. I went out of my way to not put a Wolves related stuff on the docket just because I thought we could have peace once.
No. Well, it's a good week to bring it up. Well done, Wolves. Draw with Newcastle. Not expected.
Well, I think they're upset about it. I think they wanted the win.
Sure.
So that's you can tell Wolves fans are coming along nicely since they're starting to get upset when they don't get a win against Newcastle. So I follow like 6 or 7 Wolves fans on Twitter. And when something terrible happens, not only am I getting their stuff, they're reposting other people's takes. Plus, Nate is replying to everything. So that shows up on my timeline. And I just get flooded with it. And frankly, don't get me wrong. I love the passion. But I don't care about the team enough to see that much stuff. All right, let's get on track. Are we going to start with the game of the week, the Arsenal-Sheffield match that you watched? I think that is our tradition.
Yeah, no, it's our tradition. And, you know, game of the week is definitely a strong statement there. You know, we can call it the neophyte match of the week and the team that I chose preliminarily to engage with as the game started would be the Sheffield Football Club. That might be a stretch after watching the game. In all honesty,
you want to just cut to the chase and just tell everybody what the score is in case they didn't know.
Yeah. If Arsenal Sheffield wasn't on the top of your list this weekend to turn on in the wee early morning hours, Sheffield was overmatched from the moment the ball was kicked. Arsenal put them in their place. Nketiah, I'm already talking about Arsenal and not even talking about Sheffield, but Nketiah, hat trick. Unbelievable. So much fun to watch. It was way more fun to watch Arsenal than it was to watch Sheffield. And I didn't really learn much about them other than they really are completely overmatched in this league. So I don't expect them to be honestly even challenging to stay up. I think it's relegation all the way at this point. Now, again, things could change. Some of these other teams could drop off, but it was as ugly could be. You know, for all the Sheffield fans or potential Sheffield neophytes out there that are real excited to pick up Sheffield as their team, moving forward, from one neophyte to the other, I don't know if that's a wise decision. So nothing I saw that was intriguing. I don't see them even picking up a lot of points the rest of the year. I mean, yeah, maybe they can pick up something against Burnley or Everton, Luton, but I don't see a lot of points on the horizon for them moving forward. It wasn't good soccer, and Arsenal showed that they're the class, regardless of maybe how bad Sheffield is. So,
did anybody from Sheffield stand out to you?
No.
Just a resounding no. Can I ask a question then?
Yes.
Did Martinelli get any playing time? Because I was following him for a bit last year, and I liked him.
Yes.
And this year, he hasn't been doing anything.
Yes, he did. I'm trying to think.
He's got one goal and two assists so far this season. And I got to be honest, last year, I had him as my potential golden boot if it wasn't Erling Haaland, simply because last year he had 23 goals. I think he came in third or fourth in goals, and he was really shining. But this year for Arsenal, I haven't seen him do anything.
He wasn't. And he wasn't even on the – I was thinking of somebody else. No, he wasn't even on the roster. So –
that blows my mind. I have no, I haven't seen any reports on if he's injured or if he's going through some stuff. I don't understand his fall at all.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they would have looked better if he was there, but nope, nothing I can say that was enjoyable. I mean, even the stats, I pulled it up afterwards, not a single shot on target in the whole game. I mean,
yeah,
they were completely outmatched. 810 touches to 463. So, I mean, it was a one-sided affair.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that again?
Yeah, 810 touches for Arsenal to 463 touches for Sheffield. So 2-1 on. So passes, same thing, 2-1. Possession was 68 to 32. 13 shots to 2. Again, that tells you the story about what I put up with for 90 minutes on over the weekend. So
yeah, that's not a fun one.
No, but yeah, Nketiah, unbelievable hat trick, all three goals, fantastic. He's fun to watch. He's the real deal. So Arsenal's going to be good. Arsenal's going to be a tough competitor for these Spurs at the top of the table. They're good.
So they are. Let's talk about Arsenal for a second, because Arsenal is playing better than I had hoped they would. I'm not saying expected, because, you know, they were in first for 36 games, from first game one through 36 last year,
right,
and then they finished in second. I thought they would fall off. I didn't think they would score as many goals, and I don't think they have, if you don't count this five goal, you know, run up on this one, but they look impressive. They do. Their defense is good. They're scoring goals. They are. I'm going to give credit where it's due. They look good.
Yeah, they've given up only one more goal than City so far. But, I mean, all the teams at the top, I mean, it's very, very similar. You look at Spurs, Arsenal, City, Liverpool. I mean, those stats are very, very similar. All of them have either 22 or 23 goals for, and all of them have given up 7, 8, or 9 goals. So,
yep.
I mean, it's very – which is fun to have it. I mean, compared to what I heard and have looked at what you guys dealt with last year, where you had, you know, City running away with it right from the start. I mean, Arsenal was in there as well, but it wasn't four teams that were all, like, pick them, like, who's it going to be?
So at this point last year, I'm going to say it was Arsenal was one, City two, and I'm pretty sure Spurs were in third because they win every year on my birthday, and that was yesterday. So they're great at it. In about a week or so, Arsenal or Tottenham started to fall off. Liverpool started to climb. United was up there as well. So I guess we can just jump into the next line on the docket is congestion at the top. There is 4 points separating 1 through 5. There is 4 points. That is unbelievable. It's great that there are 5 teams that are we're including Aston Villa. I am excited for your opinion on Aston Villa this week, which is the game of the week. We'll talk about that in a minute. But Aston Villa is playing as well as I think a couple of us thought they were going to. They're playing better than I thought. Have you seen them yet?
I haven't. I've seen them in a game that I've been, you know, catching bits and pieces of games here and there. But I haven't focused on them yet. And I don't think I've watched a game with them in it. So I'm looking forward to it. I actually went there this spring when we went to London. So I actually got to go out to their training grounds and my son got to practice with some of their top coaches. It was really cool. So I'm excited. I got a little experience with Aston Villa personally. So that'll be fun to actually watch them.
That's awesome. I want to read some numbers to you real quick. And I want you to guess what the final number is. Okay.
Yeah.
So game. Ready? I'm going to go in order. 22, 23, 22, 23, 26, 26, 23, and then 11. First off, can you guess what those are? Those numbers?
Are those points?
Yeah. Goals for.
Oh, goals for. Okay.
For the top 7 team.
Yeah.
And then Manchester United somehow is sitting at 8th, despite having scored only 11 goals all season.
That is and they've given up 16.
Yeah, their defense is not bad.
-5 differential,
and they're in 8th. They're scoring one goal. They're averaging one goal per game.
Well,
1.1.
Obviously, the injuries play into it, but Rashford doesn't look good.
Rashford, did you see what he posted at halftime of the? At halftime, the game isn't over. He posted that, this thing on Instagram, calling, like, showing a video of one of Erling Haaland's goals, and it just pointing at him saying "goat." So yeah, maybe his head's not in it.
Don't get me started on the Man U dislike. That
okay? Well, now's the time to do it. Chris isn't here. I would like to point out one more thing.
Yeah. That
Erling Haaland has 11 goals, and so does Man United.
I did see that. Speaking of Erling Haaland, the second goal he had, if you're going to mark anyone from a ball over the top from the end line, it's the cross that came over. It was the header goal. Do you remember the header goal?
Yes.
The entire Man U defense sucks forward to the front post and leaves the last guy that you want to leave open without a guy near 8 yards on the back. I mean, that was the easiest header goal I've ever seen. I mean, anybody could have made that. Haaland looked bored. I mean, he looked bored as he put it in. But how do you leave that guy open at the back post? I don't understand. I mean, it's Man U. So again, and they play well defensively. So, I mean, but even still, it's what a breakdown, absolute breakdown. The whole unbelievable.
I feel like you just played my video diary from either a couple of weeks earlier this season or late last season, because the exact same thing happened. And the thing about that one was it was like Erling Haaland's second or third goal of the game. And I looked and someone passes it to him and I look expecting there to be 2 guys on him and there was 0. No. And I did that exact same rant that you just did. How do you not have someone glued to him at all times?
No, when I play adult old man soccer, which is not enough that I used to, my favorite thing to do is I'm a crazy defensive, like, annoying presence. And so when I come out on the field or when there's a striker that is one of those unstoppable guys,
the captain of our team goes, "Hey, Lumberg, go mark him and don't leave him." And I literally man mark him, and I just tug his shirt the entire field, and I don't leave him. And it throws everything into turmoil because the other teams run everything through that guy. And I can do this, and I am not a good athlete. I'm not a good soccer player, but I just do what I'm told. I just go, "Oh, you want me to man mark that guy and not leave him? That sounds like a blast." And it's so fun to get under their skin because then they lose focus. How do you not do that with Erling Haaland? Like, I don't understand. Like, this is,
you know,
not
what I don't understand is how you and I haven't had a beer and watched a game together yet. I feel like, yeah, this is
yelling at the television the whole time, but I mean,
oh, so, I love it.
It will come. But anyways, yeah, I mean, I don't know if that tells us much about City other than City and Man U's not any good.
That's basically all you can lean on right now. City is doing everything you expect them to do, except the fact that they lost to fucking Wolves somehow. Third mention. But other than that, they've looked like City. They've had two bad games and eight perfect ones. That's what City does. And then United is, I don't want to say they're the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde because that's Newcastle. But United either shuts out and scores one or two goals, or they get just, you know, they're just getting made to look silly right now. Because again, I'll give it to them. We'll mention the fact that the injuries are a lot. Sure. And you know what? The parts that aren't injured aren't playing well. So I don't know what's going on.
Let me ask you a question, because this is from Neophyte, who just knows of all the Man U talk historically and less about current last few years, expectations, etc. Is Man U sitting in eighth place right now in the table a surprising spot? Like, should we be surprised? Was there higher expectations on them right now?
I predicted that Man U would win the league this year.
Got it. Okay.
Chris had them at 2 or 1.
Okay.
Nate had them, I think, at 4. They're playing poorly.
Well below expectations.
Yes.
Okay.
Injuries. I thought, first of all, the guy who I thought was going to be the rookie of the year, or, you know, I forget what we call the term, but the best new young boy, I thought it was going to be Hoyland on United, and he hasn't done anything.
No.
He was injured the first 3, I think, games, and then, but he hasn't done anything.
No, he was completely, like, you didn't see him on Saturday or Sunday, whatever day it was. Like, it was just like, he was just quiet.
I saw a picture of him and he looked sweaty.
Yep.
After the match. And that was the only evidence that I had that he was in there. Cause I mean, when someone says the name Hoyland, I'm tuned to it because of the podcast, our buddy Timmy.
Yeah. We've got a Holland, a Hoyland, and another Hoyland now. So
yeah.
Let me say this. Harry Maguire is obnoxious as all get out. And did you see the blue shoes he was wearing with the blue sock? Like the whole get up, like, I couldn't stand it. And all he kept wanting to do was hold Haaland tight. Like, I mean, it was like, you're not getting anywhere. I'm going to hold you because I'm not fast enough to move my feet to, I don't know if that's just the strategy going in. I mean, he probably should have been holding Haaland on the header goal, because he doesn't look like a soccer player. Like, he just doesn't.
No, and he's, how old is he? He's only 30. I would have guessed he was 40 he looks.
I'm 41 and I feel younger than Maguire looks.
Legit.
And I don't feel like I'm patting myself on the back. I feel younger than that. I can't
believe
he does, but I feel younger.
And hold on, I have to check this because I was under the impression that Maguire had a good week prior to the City game. I'll have to double check. He was in a different league game and he scored a goal or something. And maybe he was just feeling himself because he had a good week.
Well,
but he's not talented enough to be grabbing.
Nate, Chris, we've spent plenty of time talking about Man U and Wolves now. So are we done? Do we need to talk about it anymore?
I guess the logical transition would be to top of the table and my new project to reclaim the word spur. Simply because the Spurs are spurring right now and they are in first place. They had another lovely win this week against Crystal Palace, 2-1, that one goal coming from Palace late in the fourth minute of 90 plus four.
Yep.
And the beautiful thing about it was you were talking about Arsenal having a 2-1, you know, a possession. Tottenham was 3-1, and they should have won 4-0.
Right.
They missed a couple of easy shots early. They made a couple of dumb offsides. They're playing press, active, aggressive, beautiful football, and I love every second of it. I can't get enough of this team right now. Every article I read, I mean, you're going to read these articles when they're in first place, but every article I read is about Postecoglou, who became their manager this offseason, Chris. So what happened last year was they were in approximately third or fourth place. They fired their manager because just some ownership arguments. Levy sucks. He's the owner of Tottenham.
Yep.
And he goes through managers like crazy. Fired Conte. They went on a nosedive. Fired the interim manager. So they ended up, I think, with like three managers last year. And it was just... It was ugly. You could tell that there was no leadership. That team was as talented as this one because it had Harry Kane, but it didn't have James Maddison.
Right.
But it also, this team has better defenders, so we're not relying on Skip and stuff as much. All I'm saying is they are playing some of the most beautiful pass, selfless team football I've seen. And even Nate was complimenting him on the text chain, just for the record. So
it was pretty. And that goal, the Son's goal. I mean, all of it was just, it was beautiful. I didn't watch the game live, but I went to watch highlights before this, and I kind of got a little like, oh, like this is, it just makes you smile when you see a goal, regardless if you care about the team or not. Like right. It was just all fantastic. So,
and he's got a great smile, by the way. He was one of the guys this week who I was like, oh, Sonny's moving it to his right, because he wants to nail it with his left. And it was a good positioning. It was good everything. It was a pretty goal. But the best goal of the week was the first one in City. Did Haaland score the first one?
Yes.
It was the one where he brought like his right leg up almost like his head and he just kind of diced it in. Was that the one I'm thinking of?
Oh, no. Or
was that somebody else?
The first goal was a PK. In the City game was a PK. Was Haaland.
Okay, so then that was my favorite goal of the week. I liked it even better than Son's. It was pretty. All right, moving on. This is a minor point, but I do want your opinion on it. Just a quick little bit of background. The bottom three in the relegation zone currently are in 20th, Sheffield United with 1 point, Burnley with 4 points, and Luton Town with 5. They all look like shit. Luckily, AFC Bournemouth exists, and so does Everton, and so do Forest. So nobody's out of the woods yet. It's still early. We're only a fourth of the way through the season. However, I saw something on Twitter today or yesterday that kind of annoyed me, and I just want to bring it up. On the one hand, I love the positivity. I love the generosity, the way that they're trying to foster community. On the other hand, Luton Town posted a tweet that said, "We have the greatest fans in football," or something. "You have made such a warm, great environment. And I understand what they're doing. Come on out for another game next week," or something, ignoring the fact that they lost, ignoring the fact that they didn't look good for most of it. They didn't talk about the outcome of the game. It felt like they were just happy to be there in the Premier League. And I don't want that in my Luton Town. I want the fighting Hatters to get their shit together and show the ferocity that got them to the Premier League from League 5, Tier 5, right, in 7 years. I want them to be like, next time we're going to rip their damn heads off. But instead, they were like, this was fun.
Well, maybe they're just prepping for Liverpool to come to town next week, because, I mean, you don't want to get your hopes too far up. I mean, the good news is they go to Old Trafford to play Man U the next week. So maybe there's a win on the horizon. I mean, sorry, I feel like you set me up there. But no, I mean, at the same time, it's kind of that whole Cinderella story. You know, it's almost like March Madness where like the 16 seed or the 15 seed wins a game and they get into the next round or they make Sweet 16. Are they really expecting to win and make it further? Or is it like, we're going to enjoy our ride while we're here? I mean, I get it. Yes. But at the same time, it doesn't, I mean, the expectations, I don't have any expectations because I came in going, oh, this, I mean, I heard the story and saw the pictures of the stadium and have no connection to the EPL before this, but yeah, I mean, there's still a shot. I mean, Everton's still sitting there in front. Bournemouth somehow got 3 points this week because they got to play Burnley. But I mean, there's some points out there as those five fight it out. I mean, let's talk about Everton getting a win. West Ham. I mean, seriously.
Three of us voted surprise. Against that. That's a great transition. I guess that brings us up to best bets brought to you by FanDuel. FanDuel, where you always win and you never lose. Yeah. FanDuel. All right. I have very bad news for our listeners who rely on us for gambling advice.
Do we all lose?
For the second time this season, all five of us. Damn. Yeah, let's start with the people who are not here. Tim Hoylan, you'll notice there are three West Ham games that we're bringing here. We have a draw between West Ham and Everton. That's obviously a lose. We have a Nate took West Ham to win.
Yes,
straight up. That did not happen. And yours truly took West Ham to win.
Nope, didn't happen.
At home, I would like to point out, at home against Everton, if that's not a best bet, you're getting positive money at home against Everton. They knew something we didn't, apparently. That brings us to Chris, who took Burnley to win. And I'm sorry, who did Burnley play again?
They played Bournemouth and lost to Bournemouth. So, I mean, I actually, it's not a bad bet when he made it. But
it wasn't. When he made it, Burnley was ahead of Bournemouth.
I watched Bournemouth last week and they looked, I mean, they looked as bad as Sheffield looked this week. I mean, I've watched, that's my last 2 weeks. I watched Bournemouth last week and I watched Sheffield this week. So I felt, actually, I saw that. I'm like, I should have taken Burnley, but no, not a good bet, not a good bet either.
And then you went with what I thought was a good bet. You took, why am I blanking on the names? Liverpool and Nottingham Forest to draw.
Liverpool looked really good. I watched that game hoping I'd win fake money and it didn't play out.
Liverpool continues to look good. I feel like we've mentioned Wolves, we've mentioned United, we've mentioned Tottenham. Gotta give a shout out to Poole. They continue to look good. After week one. We'll throw that in there as a dig. Oh, I would like to point out that Brentford beating Chelsea makes Tottenham's schedule look better, but we don't need to get into that. Let's get into our best bet, brought to you by FanDuel, where as long as you don't bet like we do, you're doing fine. Let's start with our boys. Let's start with Chris for once, since he's always the last to go. He's taking Crystal Palace plus 165 on the road against Burnley. No, at home against Burnley.
It's at Burnley.
It's at Burnley. Okay. I got to be honest. It's actually up to 175 now. I don't know what changed, but
yeah, we're not giving them those odds. We're keeping.
We'll keep them clean. All right. And then we have Tim is taking Brentford plus 105 against West Ham. I guess he's mad at West Ham after last week.
Yeah. No, Brentford at home. Yeah, I can see West Ham, you know, struggling again after, you know, losing to Everton.
They're currently sitting 9-10 on the table. West Ham with 14 points, 4 wins. Brentford has 3 wins. It's not a bad bet. I don't hate that one either. It looked like I'm the only one who made a stupid bet this today.
I did see that. I'm excited for you to tell our listeners why you made that bet.
I just added it, but we'll stick with Nate for now. He has West Ham plus 240. So he's taking the opposite. He's saying Brentford ate shit. So he's taking West Ham on the road. All right. Fool me once. Shame on you. He's taking West Ham 2 weeks in a row. You can't shame him. Then again, every time you see him take Wolves and you're like, why do you keep taking Wolves? Except Wolves have won every time.
He drew
Yeah, he's got three Wolves wins.
Unbelievable.
Maybe I don't believe this guy.
Wolves. Okay.
Yeah, no kidding. Maybe I shouldn't talk shit about the Wolves. All right, and then Lundberg, who are you taking this week?
You know, I am taking, me pull up my chart again here. I'm taking Fulham at home with Man U coming to town, because why not? Another reason to watch Man U.
I feel like this is one of those
bet.
plus petty bets.
Fulham's getting 270 at home.
It's a great bet.
Man U struggling all day.
Okay, no, I agree. It's a great bet, but it also does feel a little petty.
Oh, sure. But, okay. But we're here for the petty.
Yes, of course.
I was pulled on this pot, and I have nothing. If you've been following this from the episode one this year, I have no background at all with any of these teams. And 100%. I actually, Chris might be my favorite person on the podcast. So it's not like, you know, like I really dislike Chris. Like, this team is just not likable. So it's good.
I'd like to point out, by the way, that I have lost 9 in a row. So I've decided to try and play some catch up here. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I feel like everybody in Luton Town listens to this podcast. They've heard our support. They've heard our love. And I feel like that little angry speech I just gave is going to rile them up. And I think they're going to go into this. I am taking Luton plus 1,000 at home against Liverpool.
Yes.
After just spending 10 seconds talking about how great Liverpool looks.
And they do.
And they do.
And they really do. They really do. It'll be fun, a theater, if anything. Speaking of Liverpool, for all the listeners that didn't watch the game this week, did you see I'm not a Liverpool fan either. Did you see the assist by Salah on that second goal where he stopped that? Just go search out that goal and watch it. Absolutely unbelievable. Unbelievable.
We'll see if we can. We don't need to post links in the show notes. Just look Salah assist Liverpool this week. You'll find it. They'll know what you're talking about.
And watch it a couple of times. Absolutely incredible.
There was a lot of pretty soccer this weekend. And wow. Oh, you know what? I think we've done everything we're supposed to do. We didn't do red cards because I'm not as prepared.
No, that's fine. I didn't really pay attention either.
American watch, I had to be honest, now that Pulisic isn't in the EPL, I don't really give a shit about American watch in the EPL right now. There's like two, and they don't play that much.
No, Turner, I was watching until Liverpool scored a bunch of goals against Forest. It was like, you know, he looked okay, and then he didn't. But yeah, there's really not a lot to watch, but it's not less enjoyable for me as an American soccer fan, so.
Yeah, I would like to say that honorary American James Madison of the Tottenham Hotspurs, he's an honorary American because of his name. Sure. He looked good this week. So
it's another good plug for your Spurs. I like that. It's not spelled the same, but it's fine. I don't care.
It's got an extra D.
Mm-hmm.
I take it back. He didn't even play this week, did he? Wait, did he? Yeah, he did.
Yes, he did.
I'm just kidding. Let's see, what else do we have? Oh, we should probably, as we're wrapping up, talk about the Ballon d'Ors.
Yes. My son was telling me about this. He was quite angry.
That Haaland didn't win?
Yes.
Good. Then your son is a good man. You're raising him well.
How do they do you know how they do this? Because I don't know that, like, who, where does this come from? Who awards this award? Is this a FIFA award?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So it's given to the best performance of the entire year. So because he won the World Cup, his first and only, they decided, let's just give it to him.
So they count not only their club play, but they count do they count everything, or is it
anything that's FIFA sanctioned? So I guess if like anything that's Saudi, there's some Saudi stuff that might not be FIFA sanctioned, right? Or is it?
I don't know. Questions for the podcast host when they return.
Actually, that we can actually lead into the more you know, or knowing is half the battle. I always get it wrong.
How do we choose the Ballon d'Or, and what counts and what doesn't count?
I believe it does include everything like Europa League, any because I mean, you have a lot of leagues where you have English teams playing German teams, playing French teams, playing Italian teams.
Right.
You have all the best players from all around the world playing in their leagues. I'm almost positive that it includes like the Carabao Cup and right. any
Messi, Messi just schooling, you know, like Nashville FC. And
well, that's the thing, Broncos. Right? You have to consider the competition.
Correct. Which makes me think that, I mean, I get it. If they're just like, okay, he finally won his World Cup. Like, sure. Like, I guess, but I don't know how that's just a hard thing to compare when you've got these guys playing in all these different leagues. But I guess you do have some overlap when you've got a World Cup and you've got, you know, some of these other national events. So
I'm looking at the article right now, and I'm guessing, yes, it includes just about any official game you play.
Okay.
Because in this article, it's talking about how Haaland scored 52 goals. He scored 36 in the EPL. So another 16 in various other leagues.
And still doesn't win it, and they give it to Messi. So
unbelievable. Yeah.
Whatever.
Now we need another knowing is half the battle. Is that the most goals scored in a season, including all EPL stuff and others?
Seems like it would have to be. Maybe not.
52 is a lot of goals.
A lot of goals.
He scored 36 in 38 EPL games. I think he played all of them. And he won the treble, dude.
He doesn't win best player.
Yeah, it's stupid. Having said that, I really, really enjoy watching Messi in MLS because he's so much better than everybody else that it's like watching, you know, a grown man play against children. It's wild that, you know, I quote this a lot because it makes me laugh. In the first season of Ted Lasso, Roy Kent says, I guess I could just go to America where I'd fucking dominate. And when he said that, I was like, ah, is that true? And then you see how easily Messi is dominating these MLS players. It blows my mind that he wasn't that good when he was playing for his other team.
Right. It'll be interesting to see with the MLS becoming more of a destination and the money getting better and some of these guys leaving to go to Saudi, like, you know, 10 years from now, to see if we have a bunch of these young guys, the Phil Fodens of the world and the Hollands and some of these ones, like if they make that move in the end of their career and how much better they still are than the American competition, or if like we catch up at that point and it won't be, this may be the most drastic of a distinction between, you know, a Messi coming in and the league still behind, because maybe the league hopefully won't be as behind at that point, but who knows?
Who knows? It's amazing. You know, the first person through the gates makes the most money because you can't match you can't even come close to what you paid him.
No.
But he's the bait. He's the chum. He's trying to lure in other players, right? That's part of the goal. I realize that we can't wrap it up yet because we forgot to talk about what game we're watching next week.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about Villa. They're playing Forest, correct. So I've watched a lot of Forest this year and haven't watched as much Villa as I thought I would going into the season. So I'm looking forward to maybe not a surprise. I think you guys and everybody thought Villa was going to be good, probably not, you know, top five of the table good, but reasonable. And here they are sitting just outside, you know, the top four right now. So
I have to correct something. I'm not sure if I said it on air. Nate had Villa in 5. I had Villa in 10th. So I need to correct that. He and I, I remember mentioning how much I liked Villa, but I didn't think, you know, they were going to be whatever. And then Tim had him in 6. So there was some hope for them.
Because I don't know anything, I didn't really care much about my predictions at the beginning of the year. And I honestly, this is the first time I've looked at them since the opening week. I've got Villa at 4.
I'm a genius.
I have Chelsea at 5. So, I mean, I'm not a genius, but
I do. Spurs at 9, dude.
So there we go. I knew it all along. But yeah, that'll be fun to watch them. I haven't seen much of them this year. So
yeah. So this is the part where I should tell you who to look out for. But realistically, I honestly don't know much about Villa. So hold on, let me pull up their roster real quick. and see who jumps out, because I'm feeling really bad about this.
No, you're good. I've done a little bit of deal. I do like
McGinn. Oh, Traore, obviously. Sorry.
Yeah. And they've got Leon Bailey. I've seen Bailey and Watkins, like those two, like I know a little bit about.
Douglas Luiz has been having a good season. He's got 5 goals on the season. Yeah, Bailey's got 3. Traore, how's he doing? He doesn't have any. Has he been playing? Oh, he hasn't played.
We have an award. I guess I should him, right? Follow isn't up he, on that. Isn't he an award?
Do
we have?
Yeah, that's why award? I recognize his name. I haven't watched a single.
I don't even know. I just know that it's a thing that you guys talk about.
Yeah, I honestly, I don't think I've watched a Villa game since I watched them last year. So that's wild. I am going to watch it with you. Because I am excited to see if this fifth place in the 5 hole on the table is legit or not. Yeah. And honestly, going up against Nottingham Forest, I'm sorry, are they at home or are they in Forest?
No, they're at Forest, I believe.
Okay. So then that'll be interesting. Yeah, they're in Forest. Okay.
Yep.
So this is going to be wild. This actually, okay. The thing that blows my mind the most is home team in soccer is so much ridiculous. Home field advantage is huge at right. almost every location, except for apparently City, as Chris likes to say, because they don't have any fans.
They don't have real fans. Yes.
It blows my mind how even more than any other sport I've ever watched, home field advantage makes a huge difference. So I'm actually really excited to see. What are they 16th place Nottingham Forest? 16th place yeah. Nottingham Forest can do against Aston Villa at home.
They've struggled recently. They were at least more respectable early in the year, but it's been rough as of late.
Yeah, they got crushed by Liverpool. They drew with Luton at home.
Rats.
Yuck.
Can't do that.
Drew with Crystal Palace.
Which is
drew with Brentford. Lost to City, that's fine. Drew with Burnley. They're giving away wins at the bottom of the table with Burnley, Luton.
Can't do that.
Did they play Sheffield yet? They did. They beat Sheffield. That's their. Is that their one win of the season?
Congratulations.
They have 2. Yeah, you're right. They played respectively against Arsenal to start the season, yep. Respectively against United, and then they lost to Burnley. So this is a weird team.
Well, you know, if Villa is who they're trying to tell us they are, this shouldn't be much of a match. But again, you never know. We saw Everton this week. Anything can happen.
I realize that we do need to bring up something else because it suddenly popped up on my feed and it's important. Did you hear about Liverpool's Luis Diaz's parents?
Oh, I saw the jersey. I saw a little bit about it. Crazy story.
This is nuts, man. This is awful. They're expanding the search. It's been more than 24 hours. It's been what? Has it been a couple days now?
Give everybody the rundown if they didn't hear it. What the story is.
So they were kidnapped. I don't even know. Was it for ransom?
Yeah, it's Diaz's parents, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, yep. Diaz's parents were kidnapped by, they assume it was by a gang. One of those money ransom things that are common in South America, unfortunately. And yeah, they're treating it as a premeditated crime. This is not fun. They have no leads at present.
That's wild.
This is terrible.
Prayers for his parents and yeah, all the support. Hopefully they can find him. And this kind of thing is just crazy. You know, when you put your face out there when you're, you know, pro athlete and, you know, people take advantage and makes you think like, is it worth going through all this and all the crap that these guys and gals deal with, you know, being out in the open and all the risk that then comes with that. It's wild. We forget about that when we see how much money they make and it's like, oh gosh, like these guys play soccer. It's like, no, they take all sorts of additional risks that we don't even think about. And just get a little,
yeah,
little
and plus he has to spend a fortune on security too most of the time, sure. I imagine too. So there's anyway, wow, what a bummer to end the podcast on. Nonetheless, I
wrap
feel
it
like
up
we
on
succeeded.
Top. Bring us up.
Um, I was going to tell a joke, but it might not be appropriate. So let's not.
Figured you'd have some sort of Spurs. Who's Spurs playing this week?
Spurs are playing. Are they playing Chelsea? I think they're playing Chelsea.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, I think Chris took Chelsea. Chris, let's see. I think he took Chelsea out of spite. Another petty bet. No, he took Crystal Palace. Never mind. That was something else. Yeah, they're playing Chelsea in Tottenham.
You get these games all on. You had a Friday game last week, like midday Friday. Now you've got a midday Monday game.
I'm actually pretty thrilled about this because I'm going to watch it, and it's not interfering with anything else I could be watching.
That's a 1 o'clock game. Is this correct? Is that a 1 o'clock game?
Yeah, because daylight savings takes place between then. Wow. It's normally a noon game. It's
normally a noon game. Oh, we're switching.
Yeah.
All NFL games are going to start at 11 and 2 now. Okay.
Yep. One other thing that we can end on an interesting note, so sure. It's not a bummer. It was a sports equinox tonight. There was a Major League Baseball game, a World Series game. There was a full slate of NBA games, a full slate of NHL games. We had Monday Night Football. We even had some MLS.
We did. My Sounders, 2-0 wins over Dallas. You know, moving. Have you seen the way that they're doing the playoffs in the MLS?
Do they reseed every round?
No, they changed it this year. The first round is a best of three series.
I did not know that.
They just changed it, but it's only the first round. So it's best of three, no overtime, goes straight to PKs, and it's home, away, home. So you have to win two out of three. And then after that, it goes to single elimination, regular playoffs. Which,
what do we think of this?
I don't know the reason behind it, but
were they unhappy with who won last year?
I mean, there's always that where they go, you know, where they what do you call it when it's however many goals you get the first game and then the second, they aggregate, where they go aggregate goals, where it's the first game is in Seattle, for example, and the next game's in Dallas. And if you're up 3-1, they take the road goal as worth more. It's super confusing. And in the second game, it's like you're already ahead already because you've got more goals. So they just decided to make it easier, but it's a 3-game series, which
is
strange that you only do that for the first round. And then moving forward, it's just a single game elimination. So anyways,
like a weird ass Jeopardy tournament of champions type of thing.
So anyways, you know, there's listeners that, you know their MLS soccer. I don't know why they do it, but Seattle won tonight. So lots of things going on. There's a lot of sports. This is the time of year. As you said last week, October is the best month of the year for sports.
It really is. I'm biased. I know it's either October or March, but I just love it. I love the World Series so much.
It's good.
I think I mentioned it last week, but since this is coming out on Halloween, I will once again do the lamest brag boast ever and just remind everyone that my mom's cousin wrote Monster Mash.
I did not know that.
It's the lamest thing to ever brag about.
Did you share this last year on the Halloween episode?
I may have. I feel like every Halloween, I'm like, you know, my mom's cousin wrote Monster Mash, right?
Well, you realize every time I hear Monster Mash now, I'll feel a special connection to it.
Please. So,
with that, and honestly, our listeners will too. You know, like that will be a story. There's going to be listeners that will listen to this tomorrow night, and they're going to go, I know a guy whose cousin's mom's cousin wrote Monster Mash.
Can I say, listeners, if for some reason you feel like telling that story, don't. It's even lamer than me bragging about it.
So good.
Well, all right.
Hey, thanks everybody for putting up with the two of us tonight. So
I think we got through it.
I think we did fine. I don't think the other two, three are going to listen to this and be disappointed that we ended the podcast for like, I think their listeners will come back next week knowing.
You know what? I kind of want them to be disappointed. It's their fault for bailing.
It's fine.
It's like, if you're going to go out of town and leave the keys to your two irresponsible kids, we might destroy your house with an awesome party.
Yeah. And we didn't break anything for good. Like anything that we did, we could be fixed next week. So.
Yeah. We'll start working on our apologies right now. As soon as we hang up.
I love it.
All right.
All right.
See you next week, everybody. Great seeing you, pal.
Sounds good. Bye.